Sunday school teacher was asking her class, why is it so quiet in church? Why is it so quiet in church? And one bright little girl put her hand up and said, please miss, because people are sleeping. Now, I don't intend anybody to sleep this morning. I'm going to do things a little bit differently today. I'm going to start with something very different. I just really felt that the Lord said, you know, as well as information, he wants us to have revelation. And I just sort of pray that through what we're going to do to start with this morning, that you might get a little bit of revelation. The first time I saw it, it really spoke to me, so I hope it will to you too. I'm just going to ask Jill if she'll come and help me with this. Yeah, just a second. Before we do start, I'll just explain what we're doing. Jill's going to read some scripture. Now, it's purposely not going to be on the screen this morning. Please don't follow it. We just want you to listen to the words of Jesus. Most of them are just the words of Jesus. And I've got three beakers here today. One's God. You can imagine God in a beaker, but one's God. This one's Jesus, okay. And this one, well, I put me, but it's you and me, it's all of us. Okay, so that's God, Jesus and me. Okay, right?
Yeah.
We're making a start.
John 14. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Just a minute.
Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus prays for all the believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Rules for Holy Living. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that a wonderful picture of where we are, that security of where we actually are, hidden with Christ in God? No, nothing can get to us, can it, if we're in that place? No. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." And that word for know is the Greek word ginosko, I don't know how it's pronounced, but it means to know completely, to understand, a deep, intimate knowing, complete and absolute oneness. Okay. This is eternal life, that we might have that complete, absolute oneness with God and with Jesus Christ. Yeah. My life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, our lives can be hidden in lots of different things, dependent on lots of other things. But if our lives are hidden with Christ in God, then other things can chip away at it, but we'll always be in that secure place. Paul tells us to set our minds above, not on earthly things, because the centre of our lives is locked up in Christ and double wrapped in God. You know, bad things can do happen to us. I just need to look a lot, around the room here, and some of you have been through some terrible things in your lives. You know, but bad things happen. We can't avoid them, unfortunately. We can be rocked, we can be grief stricken, but fundamentally, we're in that secure place in him. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22 in the Amplified Bible says, "But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us with you in Christ and has consecrated us and anointed us." We're established, we're steadfast in him. And there's only one place where you can be established and firm, and that is in Christ. You know, we can try and stand firm in perhaps a favourite doctrine, and I'm sure many of us have got sort of favourite teachers and preachers, and we can sort of stand in their teachings. And, you know, hear this the right way. We can't stand secure in a denomination, maybe not even in Victory Church, as good as it is. but we can only stand secure in him. Not even in a ministry that God has given, even if it's God-given, only in Christ can we stand firm. It's this secure place, this hidden with Christ in God, that we're established. That word's come up quite a bit this morning. I was really, amazed how many times it's come up. We are established. In Psalm 24, the psalmist said, "The Lord founded the world upon the seas and established it upon the waters." And the earth is established. God has established it. Now, there are earthquakes from time to time, but the earth remains fixed. We're established, rooted and established in God's love. We're established in the shalom of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We only get tossed about emotionally when we don't hold on to him, because he always holds on to us. Remember that wonderful day when you first asked the Lord Jesus into your life. And, supposing that everybody has done that, if you haven't done that, it is the most wonderful thing that you can do in this life. And if you haven't done that, then don't go away from this place this morning without coming and talking to one of us at the end of this service. And we'll be so happy and delighted to lead you to the Lord. We shall make that most important decision for all eternity. But remember when you were saved, when you first asked the Lord Jesus into your life. But salvation, on its own isn't enough. It's wonderful, but it's not enough. I was led to the Lord by a teacher that I loved in junior school when I was about 7 or 8. And I can remember it as, clearly as if it was yesterday in some ways, because something tremendous happened in my life at that time. But then I sort of went on in the Methodist Church, Sunday school teaching, doing a little bit of local preaching. Looking back now, I tried to do it all in my own strength. And it was only when I was in my early 30s that I met the Lord again, but this time with such a wonderful experience that, it wasn't just a salvation experience, it was making him Lord of my life, Sort of saying to him, as we've been singing, take my life, use it, live it through me. But there are many people who try and get by on salvation alone. I had a great aunt, I think I've talked about her before in church. She had this picture over her bed with this great big eye that said, "Thou Lord seest me." It's scary, actually, when you're a young child. God's given me the revelation that he loves us so much, he can't take his eyes off us. And that's really what that means. When God sees us, he just loves us so much, he can't take his eyes off us. But as well as this rather scary picture, she had this old iron bedstead. And it was, firm at the top, firm at the bottom, but really saggy in the middle. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my Christian life to be saggy in the middle. I want it to be, firm all the way. There's many people who just sort of think, I'll just hang on by my fingertips and I might just make it in the end. And that's not what God wants for us. Or this horrible old song, I don't know if many of you remember it, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." It's this sort of picture of us that we might just manage to keep it all together before, the Lord comes again. And that, again, is not what God wants for us. He wants us living a victorious Christian life. He's come that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. The children of Israel were saved from the worst plague in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. But, and I think this came as a revelation to me this week, even though they were saved, they were still in Egypt. They could have stayed there, but they'd never have set out on their journey and reached the promised land and all that God had for them if they just stayed there and been safe. Are you trying your hardest to live the Christian life? I wonder. I've got news for you. I don't know if it's good news or bad news. Good news, I think. You can't do it. Okay? You can't do it. It's Christ in us living it. He is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And hard as we try, we can't win the world with a homemade seal. We can't win the world with a homemade seal. Good as our intentions are, good as our words are, we can't do it. Okay, I know a lot of us were touched by what Pete was sharing this morning about Cambodia. But when you look at this picture, it's us in God, Jesus in us. We're feeling his heart for those children, aren't we? And that's really the heart that will change the world. It's not us on our own doing it. It's not our homemade seal. But it's God's heart breaking for those children. And it's that heart of love and compassion that will change the world. We can know him. We can know him for us. We can know him with us. We can know him helping us, but we have to know him in us, expressing his life through us. He's made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, he's made me holy, complete, blameless, loved, and accepted. All those things in Christ Jesus. And I want us to look at the Passover again. God sent the angel of death to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. And God told his people to kill a lamb and smear the blood on the doorpost. And it was one smear on the top of the doorpost and one on each side. And that, if you think about it, is a picture of the three crosses at Calvary. You know, just a foretaste of what was to come. So to smear the blood on the top and the two sides. And as well as doing that, they were told that they had to roast the lamb and eat it. And that was to be the nourishment for that family for the journey. And that's the other side of the cross, you know, that side of communion. The blood which saves us and the body that sustains us. You take the Lamb Jesus into you as life. And God shows us that the same Lamb used for blood on the doorpost was the same Lamb that they ate for the journey. Life is a journey. In other words, everything that is necessary for us to live the life comes from the Lamb of God. The Lamb doesn't just die for you and leave you to do the rest for yourself. God lives the life through you. Duncan used to have a notice over his desk that said, if God is your co-pilot, move over. If God's your co-pilot, move over. He wants to take complete control. And the Lamb of God is the total answer the Lamb that came and gave his blood for the children of Israel also gave life to them. The Lamb who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and we're going to all be taking communion, remembering that in a few minutes. That Lamb who shed his blood on Calvary's cross gives life to you. They ate the meat, and for them it became nourishment, strength, and vitality for the journey. And for life's journey, we need the nourishment and the sustenance that he gives us. It isn't just trying to walk it for God, but it's the life of Jesus in us, the Lamb of God within us, that's doing it for us. And Jesus said, John 6, I think we've got the words for. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. The Lamb serves two purposes. Take the blood and put it on the door. The blood of Jesus washes away completely all our sins, past, present and future. You know, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Your sins, past, present and future, are taken away by the Lamb of God and by the blood that he shed. Hallelujah. So take the blood, put it on the door. Take the meat and put it in your body. Put the life in you. Unless you do, you'll always be in Egypt. You'll always be in captivity. You'll always be striving, trying to live the Christian life. But you can't do it without his life in you. We used to sing an old song years ago, which was, let me have my way among you. Do not strive. You know, Jesus saying, let me have my way among you. Do not strive. Jesus is saying, only I can give you the life. Only I can live the life. Let me live it through you. We have eternal life in us, God's life. It's without beginning, it's without end. It's eternal. This is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God. Again, that deep, intimate knowing. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. And I just want to read this little poem by Susan Lenskis, which is included inside his arms. Inscribed with his name, inseparable, incomprehensible love, incredible peace, indescribable joy, indestructible riches, in touch with truth, increased in faith, infused with hope, incarnate strength, instructed to serve, inspired to live in endless praise in Christ. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for that complete place of security, that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Father, we thank you that we're rooted and established in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the solid rock, the solid ground. Father, thank you that the Lamb didn't just die to save us from our sins, but in order to give us sustenance to live the life that you want us to live in Christ Jesus. And Father, if we've been striving, if we've been trying to do it in our own strength, we just ask forgiveness right now. Thank you, Father. And Father, we just invite you now to come again as Lord of our lives, to lead us, to guide us, to live the life through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.